Jayatam Gopi Vismita Bharapidita Mahapurusham Adadyo Jagatam Asakarmasu Bhumo Nidayatam Gopi Vismita Bharapidita Mahapurusham Adadyo Jagatam Asakarmasu Bhumo Nidayatam Gopi Vismita Bharapidita Mahapurusham Adyadyo Jagatam Masakarmasu. Vaishnavis, ground. Nidaya, placing. Tam, the child. Gopi, Mother Yashoda. Vismita, being astonished. Bharapidita, being aggrieved by the weight of the child. Mahapurusham, Lord Vishnu, Narayan, Adadyo, took shelter of. Jagatam, as if the weight of the whole world. Asa, engaged herself. Karmasu, in other household affairs. Translation. Feeling the child to be as heavy as the entire universe, and therefore being anxious, thinking that perhaps the child was being attacked by some other ghost or demon, the astonished mother, Yashoda, put the child down on the ground and began to think of Narayan. Foreseeing disturbances, she called for the Brahmins to counteract this heaviness, and then she engaged in her other household affairs. She had no alternative than to remember the lotus feet of Narayan, for she could not understand that Krishna was the original source of everything. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Mother Yashoda did not understand that Krishna is the heaviest of all heavy things, and that Krishna rests within everything, matstahani sarva bhutani. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, maya titam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. Krishna is everywhere in his impersonal form, and everything rests upon him. Nonetheless, na chaham teshvavistita. Krishna is not everywhere. Mother Yashoda was unable to understand this philosophy because she was dealing with Krishna as his real mother by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. Not understanding the importance of Krishna, she could only seek shelter of Narayan for Krishna's safety and call the Brahmins to counteract the situation. And I think I forgot at the beginning to chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutade Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I first beg the blessings of the senior Vaishnavs and Vaishnavis that I may speak properly on our Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta as given to us by our Srila Prabhupada. So we are continuing with the killing of the demon, Chinavarta. And Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us such a clear understanding of the spiritual world, of Krishna's activities, the Lord and his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us a clear understanding of the spiritual world. And the human form of life is meant to understand our relationship with the Lord. This is what real human civilization is about pleasing the Lord, remembering the Lord. And so Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us everything we need to know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that we can reestablish our relationship with Him. But in this materialistic life, Bhagaishvarya Prasaktanam Taya Paritta Chetasam Vyava Satmika Budhir Samidhana Vidyate. This material existence, especially in this Western civilization, the humans, they're bewildered by Bhoga and Aishvarya. Bhoga, sense gratification, Aishvarya, opulences of this world. Then, as long as we're attracted by this Bhogaishvarya, then samadhau na vidyate, it's very hard to concentrate our minds on spiritual life, on what to speak of Krishna. And so Srimad Bhagavatam is given to us by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva in his maturity. Nigama kalpataro galitam palam shukamukad amrita javyam samitam pibita bhagavatam rasam alayam mahur aso aho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. That the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's the cream of all Vedic literature. It's the topmost literature. And what is it giving us? It's giving us rasa, rasam alayam. And it's these pastimes of Krishna are even sweeter because they've been spoken by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. And it's being relished by the rasikas, those who are able to taste rasa, which we'll speak about a little later. So Mother Yashoda, in the beginning of this purport, Srila Prabhupada, he's talking about how Mother Yashoda did not understand that Krishna is the heaviest of all heavy things, and that Krishna rests within everything, matstani sarvabhutani, because she was having Krishna on her lap and petting her. Yesterday it says, lala yanti. Sometimes a mother lifts her child, and when the child falls in her hands, the child laughs. So they were playing mother and child. And yet Mother Yashoda didn't understand that Krishna is the heaviest of all heavy things. And he says here that he became as heavy as the entire universe. Imagine Mother Yashoda being able to lift the entire universe. But she didn't understand that he is the heaviest of all heavy things. And Srila Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya titam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Krishna's everywhere in his impersonal form, and everything rests upon him. So this whole material creation and spiritual world is emanating from Krishna, Aham Sarvasya Prabhuvo. All the material worlds and spiritual worlds are emanating from Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything, Janman Yata Yasaha. And so, how can we properly understand that Krishna is everywhere in his impersonal form? In Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives an example. He talks about how there is a king, and everything is resting on the king's power. And so there's different government departments. And the government is going on by the king's orders, by the king's power. But he doesn't have to personally go into each department to see if it's going on. It's going on by the king's power as being king. And so the government is going on. Not that he has to check up on everything personally. And so in the same way, Srila Prabhupada also says that's a very crude example. But in the same way, Krishna is everywhere in his impersonal form. So everything is resting on his energy, is what Srila Prabhupada points out in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. This is material world and spiritual world is resting on Krishna's energy. So there's the external energy, Maya Shakti, and the internal energy, Sarup Shakti. And everything is going on by the energies of the Lord. It's not that he has to personally micromanage. And so Krishna is everywhere, but yet, Najaham Teshvav Stitaha, Krishna is not everywhere. So Krishna is everywhere, and yet he's not everywhere. How can we understand this? It's very difficult. And so Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. This is actually achintya beta beta tattva. In Bhagavad Gita 9.4, it's actually beginning the philosophy achintya beta beta tattva, that Krishna is everywhere in his impersonal form, and everything rests upon him, and yet he's separate from it. Krishna is not everywhere. And Srila Prabhupada gives another example in Bhagavad Gita 9.5, of how in the Greek mythology we see the symbolism of Atlas. Atlas is holding the earth on his shoulders and he's struggling to hold it up. Krishna is not like that. In the creation, We understand through Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna, for the material creation, he expands into the Purusha avatars. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expands himself first as Mahavishnu, who lies in the Karna ocean. And when Mahavishnu exhales, millions and millions and millions of universes come out of his pores. And when he inhales, all those universes come back in. Then he expands himself again as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who enters each universe and gives the instructions to Lord Brahma to create the planetary systems. And then finally there's Kshirodakshay Vishnu, who's in the heart of all living entities and also in between every atom and in every atom. So Krishna, he's the source of everything, but he is not a part of it. He is playing on the lap of Mother Yashoda. He expands himself through his Purusha avatars, and his energies are taking care of everything. And so Mother Yashoda says, when was unable to understand this philosophy because she was dealing with Krishna as his real mother by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya is the internal potency who is taking care of all of Krishna's pastimes, making sure that all these pastimes are going on. All of Krishna's activities are under Yoga Maya, the internal potency. They're not under the external potency. And this is what the impersonalists, the Mayavadis, they cannot understand. They cannot understand what to speak of Bhagavad Gita's Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. And of course, it's inconceivable, Achintya. But they cannot understand the Achintya Beta Beta Tattva, simultaneously one yet different, Krishna and his energies. And they really can't understand how Mother Yashoda is having a relationship with Krishna, his mother and child. Krishna, he's the source of everything, expands himself as Mahavishnu, Kshirodakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and yet he's simply playing on the lap of Mother Yashoda. Only the devotees can understand this, because Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us rasa tattva. It's giving us rasa, the divine mellows. But we can't jump to the 10th canto. We have to go gradually, understanding Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning. Because we cannot jump to rasa tattva. We cannot jump to the truth of the divine mellows. First, we have to understand Krishna tattva, jiva tattva, shakti tattva. We have to understand Sambandha Gyan, what our relationship is with Krishna, what our relationship is with this material world. Understand that we are Jivaras Rupahoi Krishna Nityadas, the eternal servants of Krishna. Purify our heart. And then we can properly go through the Srimad Bhagavatam up to the 10th canto. Because otherwise, somebody can read the pastimes of Krishna and degrade themselves because they take these pastimes to be ordinary rather than extraordinary. That Krishna is just playing on the lap of Mother Yashoda. Maybe he's some great yogi or some great personality that he has these mystic powers. But no, he is the source of all mystic powers. He is the source of the material and spiritual worlds. And so this impersonalism is very dangerous. We should not hear about it, hear from it. And Srila Prabhupada, in his pranam mantra, Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvashesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine, Srila Prabhupada came to personally kick out this impersonalism. Because if we have a little bit of impersonalism, we can not really approach the 10th canto properly. Of course, by reading Srila Prabhupada's purports, we can understand everything, but still Srila Prabhupada gave the instruction to go through the Srimad Bhagavatam in a careful manner. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was also very much against this impersonalism. Krishna himself was against this impersonalism. And there's some very nice pastimes with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeating this impersonalism. So in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leelas, we read a very powerful pastime where Advaita Acharya, he was always seen as a senior person. from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always give him respects, would take the dust from his lotus feet, would even worship Advaita Acharya. He was very much respectful to Advaita Acharya. But Advaita Acharya, being Mahavishnu, he always saw himself as a servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to be recognized as a servant of Lord Chaitanya. He didn't want to receive all this great respect and on reverence from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to serve Lord Chaitanya. And so in his heart, he felt that I have to find a way so that the Lord will punish me, will make me his servant, will openly declare that I am his servant. And so Advaita Acharya, with his loud calls, he called down Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Goloka Vrindavan. He was a great proponent of bhakti in Shantipur, in Navadvip. He was always seen as a great devotee of the Lord, although he's Mahavishnu himself. He playing the role of a devotee, he would always glorify bhakti. But to seek out the punishment of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thought, what I will do is I will glorify jnana. I will glorify impersonalism by preaching the Yoga Vasishta, and the Lord will come and he'll chastise me. And so at his home in Shantipur, when he would regularly discuss the bhakti granthas, the bhakti shastras and bhakti itself, he started glorifying impersonalism and Yoga Vasishta, stating that everything rests on jnana, everything rests upon this impersonal philosophy. Bhakti is dependent upon jnana. So he started glorifying jnana in this way. Haridas Thakur happened to be living in Shantipur at that time and would go and hear from Advaita Acharya. And understanding Advaita Acharya's heart, he started laughing while he heard this, because he knew what he was trying to do. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they were wandering around Navadvip, and the demigods, they were glorifying the two moons. They were saying that, how is it that we've never seen two moons before like this, walking around Navadvip? So understanding Advaita Acharya's plan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he looked at Lord Nityananda Prabhu and said, I think we should go and see Advaita Acharya. We should go to Shantipur today. So they started walking to Shantipur, but before getting there, there's a small village called Lalitapur. And in Lalitapur, there's this so-called sadhu living. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw the house and asked Lord Nityananda, do you know who lives here? And Lord Nityananda said, yes, there's a sannyasi that lives here. We can stop and take prasadam. So they went to the house, they knocked on the door, and this sannyasi came. And he immediately started giving benedictions to Lord Chaitanya, seeing that he was a great devotee. He said, I give you all benedictions that you're able to obtain wealth, women, and a good family life. And Lord Chaitanya, hearing this, he said, you're a sannyasi. What kind of benediction is this? Why are you trying to give me the benediction of wealth, family life, materialistic life? You should be giving me the benediction that may you attain the lotus feet of Krishna. May you attain the mercy of Krishna. Why are you giving me these materialistic benedictions? And the sannyasi, he said, just see, I'm giving you a good benediction and you're not taking it. Now I've seen what other people have told me about Kali Yuga. You try to speak some nice words to somebody, and they turn around and beat you with a club. I'm trying to give you good benedictions. If somebody has wealth, if somebody has a good family life, then you can enjoy material opulences in this world. This is the greatest benediction. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, no, this is not the greatest benediction, and started defeating him, saying that everything is taken away at death. How can this be the greatest benediction? The greatest benediction is bhakti. And the sannyasi, he said, just see, I'm an old sannyasi. I've been to Ayodhya, Mathura, Badrikashram. I've traveled all over the world. And now this child who is still sucking milk from his mother's breast, who's trying to instruct me on the goal of life. Jesse. And Lord Nityananda said, no, we understand your great personality. He's just a child. Don't worry about his words. And so they went in, and the sannyasi said, please come and take some fruits. I have something for you. And so they sat down, and Lord Nityananda said that, just give us something quick. We have to be going. And the sannyasi, he had his wife come out. So he was a tantric sannyasi. He was not a true sannyasi, but he was of the Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says he was like a bowel. He was a so-called sannyasi who was maintaining materialistic life and having a wife, but he would dress like a sannyasi and beg like a sannyasi. And so he had his wife come out, offer prasadam to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And they started taking the prasadam. And this tantric sannyasi, he said, I want to give you some ananda. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he turned to Lord Nityananda, he said, what is this ananda? And Lord Nityananda said, it means wine. And they immediately ran up out of the house, and they jumped in the Ganga with all their clothes on and floated down to Shantipur. The sannyasi wanted to give Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda wine. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says that this pastime is so powerful because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Varanasi, he did not associate with the Mayavadi sannyasis. He actually hid for the months there in the house of Tapan Mishra's house. So he stayed in the house of Tapan Mishra. He did not associate with the Mayavadi sannyasis, who are learned in all types of Sanskrit shlokas. They're following the four regulative principles. They're renounced. They're giving up materialistic life. He wouldn't associate or take prasadam with them at all. And yet, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they gave their mercy to this materialistic, so-called fallen, degraded person. Of course, they ran out of the house and bathed in the Ganga to so-called show us that we should be free from that association. Still, it's a powerful story that's showing us that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would give his mercy to those who are fallen and degraded and who had a little bit of bhakti, try to increase that, whereas he wouldn't associate at all with the Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi. And so they went to Shantipur, and Advaita Acharya was there speaking on the Yoga Vasishta, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became so angry hearing this impersonalistic philosophy being spoken by Advaita Acharya. And he said to Advaita Acharya, you tell me right now, which is higher, Gyan or Bhakti? And Advaita Acharya, he said, Gyan. And immediately Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got up and he said, how dare you speak this way? You were the one that called me from Goloka Vrindavan. I came down because of you. And now you're trying to cover over bhakti with this gyan. And he went over to Advaita Acharya and he started beating him, this old man. And Sita Thakurani, Advaita Acharya's wife, started crying out, he's an old man, you're going to kill him. Please stop. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was beating him, and Advaita Acharya just started smiling. And he said, today you have shown that I am your servant. You are the master. The servant never beats the master. The master beats the servant. And so today I have proclaimed through this pastime that I am your servant and you are my master. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very pleased. Lord Nityananda, it said, seeing Advaita Acharya glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, he was crying rivers of tears. And so they started glorifying how bhakti is so much greater than this impersonalism. And so hearing about the pastime of Trinavarta, it actually takes out this vanity of learning, being learned, and it takes out impersonalism, this desire for mukti, liberation, and impersonalism. So by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, our hearts are cleansed of all these anarthas. And we should dive into these pastimes of the Lord. We're seeing that the Lord, He is engaged in transcendental activities, which He is performing for our benefit and for the enjoyment of His other devotees. Mother Yashoda, she did not understand that Krishna is the heaviest of all heavy things. So we should properly go through Bhagavad Gita, understanding all the different tattvas, what this material world is, what the spiritual world is, who Krishna is, who we are, what is our relationship. Then go through Srimad Bhagavatam in a systematic way so that we can get to the 10th canto and then even on to Chaitanya Charitamrita, which explains even higher philosophy. And through that, we can make progress in Krishna consciousness. The activities of Krishna, they're not ordinary. They're spiritual and they purify the heart. And I just wanted to read one really nice quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He spoke this at Radhakund. When Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur went to Radhakund, he did not speak on Leela. He did not speak on the confidential activities of Krishna. Instead, he spoke about the Upanishads. And he was criticized because of this, because he was trying to give the highest philosophy, not in a cheap way, but in a very systematic way, so that one would not create offenses and fall down. And in Radhakund, after he spoke on the Upanishads in 1932, he stated, "All these days, we have not spoken to everyone about Leela. The reason is that this is our greatly confidential asset, our only objective. You should not mistakenly consider anartha nivritti as prayojana," meaning that we shouldn't just consider that getting rid of our anartas, the dirty things in our heart, is the topmost goal. He says, "For one, the surmising can never enter into artha praviti. I know that even now you are not ready to hear it, yet we should know that such a transcendental ideal exists within the realm of bhajan. This is why anartha nivritti is essential. After that comes artha praviti. Namely, that in the supramundane realm, there is service to the divine pastime couple. Without knowing this, all our efforts may end in voidism." So Srimad Bhagavatam is defeating impersonalism. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is revealing to us that first we undergo anartha nivritti, and then comes artha praviti, where we can hear properly about the activities of Krishna. Because if we don't understand that Krishna is performing the activities, if we don't understand Chintamani Prakarasan Masakalpa Viksha Lakshavateshu Siddhabira Bupalyantam Lakshmi Sahasar Sattasam Brahmi Sevimanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhavajami, that there's a spiritual world, there's activities being performed there, then everything we're doing can result in voidism, which we're trying to avoid. We have to understand that there's a spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada, in Krishna book, he says, "This is called Leela Smarana, and it is the process of association with Krishna most recommended by great devotees. Even Lord Chaitanya, when he was at Puri, enjoyed Leela Smarana, or remembering the activities of Krishna. Those in the most exalted position of devotional service and ecstasy can live with Krishna always by remembering his pastimes." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a transcendental literary work entitled Krishna Bhavanamrita, which is full with Krishna's pastimes. Exalted devotees can remain absorbed in Krishna thought by reading such books. Any book of Krishna Leela, even this book, Krishna, or our teachings of Lord Chaitanya, is actually solace for devotees feeling separation from Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has given us Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many literatures to help us enter into the pastimes of Krishna. And we have to take advantage of that while we have this great opportunity. And so in the end of the purport, It says, not understanding the importance of Krishna, she could only seek shelter of Narayan for Krishna's safety and call the Brahmins to counteract the situation. So in the translation, it says that Mother Yashoda was foreseeing disturbances. She called for the Brahmins to counteract this heaviness, and then she engaged in her other household affairs. So when there's heaviness around us or disturbances, we call out to the devotees. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manashiksha, he describes about how the living entity is bound by the ropes of greed, lust, and anger. There are like robbers and thieves that come, bind us up, and throw us in a ditch, leaving us to die. But when we call out for the help of the devotees, they come and they help us, they save us. So Mother Yashoda, by her example, she's seeing some foreseeing disturbances and she calls out for the Brahmins. So also in our life, Trinavarta comes, such a whirlwind of activity. We can't see Krishna clearly. Our life is like a whirlwind. We have to call out to the devotees to help us. We should understand that. There's no possibility of making it alone to the spiritual world. So stop here if there's any questions or comments. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Possible one.